let me offer a thought here that it's very focused on our transition period here. I was reading a book some years ago by church history, and I ran into the expression St. John the Theologian. And the Catholics and Greek Orthodox still refer to John as a theologian, and it really struck me because I began looking at his writings in a completely different perspective. And that seems to be true, that he seems to have had a theological perspective on everything. He saw it from a theologian's perspective. The Apostle Paul was a theologian. Peter was not. But I want to look at a couple of verses here that very much a snapshot of the transition of the book of Acts. And it's literally a transition for these disciples. And it's in the Gospel of John, chapter 20, the first 10 verses. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. And then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and they came first, and he came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon with Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and a napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away into their own home. We see in these verses the humanity of James and of Peter and John. And remember, these two had known each other for years. And we look at these events, and we look at the trial, the crucifixion. And we're looking at events that have happened immediately after that. Their minds are just churning, and what is going on here? And then this Mary comes and tells them that the tomb's empty. And so, verse 3, Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. Verse 4, and they ran together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. John isn't hesitant about mentioning he outran Peter. I mean, it's almost like a sibling rivalry here. They're men. They're just men. And so he outruns Peter to the sepulchre. In verse 5, and he stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen cloths lying there. Well, Peter can't outrun John, but John's not about to go in the tomb. I mean, the dead folk been in there, and he's a little hesitant about going there. Peter's got to one-up him. He jumps up. He goes right into the tomb. And the napkin that was about, verse 7, of the head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre. He saw and he believed, for as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. So they both come to the tomb. But John says he believed, but this is where he gets into his theological bent. For they knew not yet the scripture that he must rise from the dead. And we're looking at John, and suddenly the lights are all coming on. He's risen from the dead. But we can't say that until we find it in the scripture. We've got to go back to this. We've got to find the verse that confirmed this. Now, it says clearly, he believed. But he had to confirm it out of the scriptures. And this is just a microcosm of the whole book of Acts. They've got to look back to the Old Testament. They look, they believe, this is true. But wait a minute. What does the Old Testament say? What do the scriptures say? I believe. And it's kind of a thing, it's the same thing we deal with constantly. We see these things, but yet we have to have that reflex of looking back. We believe this, we believe that. We can't let that govern what the truth is. And John says, we've got to go back to Scripture. Where is the verse that says this is true? Then we will know for sure this is what's happened. And it's kind of a thing, the description that I've heard, it's like drawing a line, a horizontal line, a vertical line. You've got two dimensions, but you add a third dimension, and that's what's happening here. The Scriptures so many times are in black and white on paper, but this is the third dimension. When they saw that empty tomb, it was a third dimension. It was not just two dimensions. It was a third dimension, and it was confirmed by the Scriptures. And that's what we have to do, and that's what the book of Acts is. They keep seeing these things, and we've got to go back to the Scriptures. What do the Scriptures say? What's in the Old Testament? And we can just see their minds. We're seeing their minds, and they've celebrated Passover all their life. They've known all these festivals, all of these things, and suddenly they start putting it all together. It's starting to come together.
Let me, Herm, before you just...
You're not going to take my...
No, I'm not. In Revelation chapter 13, there will be a death and a resurrection that is staged of a man on this planet. And it will draw mankind to worship that man. Our belief in the Lord Jesus is not simply that he died and he rose. The beast is going to do that. Our belief in the Lord Jesus is that he did so according to the Scripture. The suffering Christ, to save us from our sins.
Something I saw in Scripture some time ago, and it reminds me of God's faithfulness, which actually comes into play here in Acts. Where I saw was Jeremiah 49, and if you were to read that through, we don't have to do that now because I only have 2 minutes. God promises judgment on the country of Elam. Chedorlaomer, who you mentioned earlier, was king of the country of Elam. And in the middle of verse 37, the Lord says, I will bring evil upon them, even my fierce anger, saith the Lord, and I will send the sword after them till I have consumed them, and I will set my throne in Elam, and will destroy from thence the king and the princes, saith the Lord. Verse 39 says, but it shall come to pass that I will bring again the captivity of Elam. So let's look at Acts chapter 2. Look at the group of people that are mentioned in verse 9 that were listening and hearing God's wonderful faithfulness in the gospel. Parthians and Medes and Elamites and others as well.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord for his faithfulness.
Amen.
To his
Amen.
Lord. Sure. We do praise you and thank you, Lord, for your wonderful faithfulness to your word, your kindness, your goodness to us, your great salvation. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for being obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. We thank you for this food now that you provided, and we pray your blessing on it and our time together, that your name would be honored and glorified in all things. And we thank you and pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.